Okay, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to the fifth chapter of the book of James. And we've been establishing the fact, a fact that has been missed by so many commentators on this book of James. They've all tried to make it written to Jews of the diaspora that were saved, but it doesn't fit. And what is said in these chapters doesn't fit for believers, because for us as believers in Jesus Christ, the Scripture teaches us, based upon the one sacrifice for sin forever in Jesus Christ, their sins and iniquities will I remember against them when? No more. So when we see, as we saw in the fourth chapter, when they were spoken of as adulterers and adulteresses, the Jews were under the law, and one of the laws, thou shalt not commit adultery, but we as believers in Jesus Christ are dead to the law. That doesn't mean we have a license to commit adultery, but even if we do, we can't be charged with it, because the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died for our sins, paid for them all, and the new covenant is, their sins and iniquities will I remember against them. When? No more. So, applying the fundamental truths of the Word of God, who God is so important in the interpretation of Scripture. And we've spent over the years, I've talked about the sin a lot. Yeah, 30 times from the 5th chapter in verse 12 to the 8th chapter in verse 3 in Romans, we have the noun, singular noun, sin. So it's not sins, but a singular sin is preceded by the definite article, but it was never translated, so it's the sin. And what is the sin? It's Adam's sin. Now, what did Adam gain from his sin? He gained a knowledge of good and evil. What is, by definition, a knowledge of good and evil? Morality. So when we go to Proverbs, the 14th chapter, and again in the 16th chapter, there is, in the 14th chapter, a way which seemeth right unto a man. And then in the 16th chapter, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, which in that context means the same thing, same Hebrew word. You know, but the end thereof are, listen, the ways, plural ways of death. So that includes all the religious systems of the world. So then when we, you know, when you study theology and the interpretation of Scripture and so forth, there's a principle. Who's speaking? To whom? You know. So, you know, in the Old Testament, it's always directed to the Jews. See? And what's he speaking about? Okay. So we can't, if we just jump from one place to another and don't know who is speaking and to whom, and we try to apply that directly to ourselves, then we're going to be confused. Yeah. And so we have to know some fundamentals and apply those fundamentals. And it works in mathematics. It works in electronics. It works everywhere. You know, you interpret by fundamentals. That's why this whole political thing that we're dealing with now. America is not... typically, it's not a democracy. We are a democratic republic with representative government. You know? And, of course, it's being, you know, being destroyed. It has to be, because a society like we have, and, you know, and I believe that we're the Babylon of the 18th chapter of the Revelation, so at some point in time, we're going to get taken out, you know. It's going to be like an angel who takes a millstone and drops it in the sea. Well, I used to plunk a lot of rocks. And you throw them into the water, it goes in and displaces the water. It comes back up in the column that is displaced. It shoots up into the air and mushrooms out and falls. Yeah. And who created the atomic bomb? We did. Yeah. And so, ultimately, as a nation, what everybody fears is going to happen. You know, if I'm correct in my interpretation of the 18th chapter of the book of the Revelation, yeah, because we created it, we used it on civilian targets. You know, it was used as an act of terrorism. You know, we all talk about terrorism. You know, we got to get terror here and terror there. You know what terror is? When I was 12 years old, I threw, like a dumb kid, I could burn the papers, they weren't going, threw a quart jar of black or thinner on it, it exploded, I'm covered in flame. That's terror. Yeah. And I understand perfectly those people in those Twin Towers back, you know, when they jumped out of those buildings, they would rather jump than be burned. Yeah, and I understand that. I really understand that. Yeah. Okay. So let's pick up in this fifth chapter. He says, "Go to now, ye rich men, go to now, ye rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten." Yeah, this is if you're poor. Now, what did the Jews do? They, they said the blessing, if you have wealth, you've been blessed of God. So anyone that was poor had to be cursed of God. See? And that's why anyone like the blind man in the book of Gospel of John, the blind man, thou wast born altogether in sin, and dost thou teach us? Why? Because he was blind, he was cursed of God as far as the Jews were concerned. It's self-righteousness. But that blind man really rebuked them when he said, you know, this is an amazing thing. It's never happened that a man that was born blind was made to see. And this man has opened my eyes, and you don't know where he's from? You know, to paraphrase it. You know. And that's when they said, thou was altogether born in sin, and dost thou teach us? Okay. Well, their ears were closed. We can't teach anybody persuade anybody into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus gave a command to us, and when he gave the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel, that was not individually, because no single person could go into all the world and preach the gospel. It was, you know, so all of it that's taught in Bible college is, oh, you've got to go, you got to be a soul winner. No, we got to go build churches so that we can preach the gospel throughout the world, and then after the people are saved by the gospel that we preach, then we have to nourish them as newborn babes in Christ, build them up. You know? And Paul said with respect to that to the Corinthians, I couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So I'm going to read these first six verses, and then I'm going to take you over to the book of Thessalonians, and then Matthew, and we'll look at a few things there. Okay, he says, your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten, in verse 2. Your gold and silver is cankered. Yeah, that is, it's just crumbling away. And the rest of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. So all that you did to earn that money ultimately is going to be as if you're burned up. It's not going to do you one bit of good. Why? Because you sought riches rather than true riches, salvation in Jesus Christ. And so you became wealthy, but you're going to go to hell. See? And so what good is your wealth going to do? Remember the rich man and Lazarus? He, you know, at that point in time, Old Testament saints didn't go to heaven. They went into a compartment of the grave called Sheol. You know, and it was a great gulf fixed between the unsaved and the saved. And of course, the rich man said, I'm tormented in this flame. Send Lazarus, he cried out to Abraham, send Lazarus that he might dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. This is what James is talking about. Yeah. And you would never say that to a saved person, you're going to be tormented in hell. Okay. Yeah, there's so many violations of the proper interpretation of Scripture in the general consensus that comes from James. You know, it's as if the theologians and the preachers all forgot everything that they ever learned, you know, and some of them never learned it because they weren't saved in the first place. But they want to make this book to show that you've got to be holy and righteous and just, and people look on your life and want to be like you and all of this type. And that's nonsense. Why? Because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. You know, if I want to find fault, all I've got to do is look in the mirror. You know. And that's true of each of us, because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. But then when we realize God in His infinite mercy and grace sent His Son into the world by means of the virgin birth so that He could be a man but without the sin nature of man, so that He was fully God and fully man, and that as the God-man and as a Jew, He fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law and all righteousness. So all of the blessings that were promised in the Old Testament for keeping the law all belong to Jesus Christ. And because they belong to Jesus Christ and we're heirs and co-heirs or joint heirs with Christ, they belong to us. Not by performance, but by faith. Yeah. And so we go on here, and he says, behold the hire of the laborers. He's showing, you know, you had your people labor for you, and then you cheated them out of their wages so you could be richer. So he says, behold the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which of you is kept back by fraud. That means you promised to pay them, but you didn't pay them, or you paid them less than what you promised. It crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Now, before refrigeration, you know, and when you would butcher a cow, you know, okay, you butcher it, any kind of meat that you want, you can have that kind of meat and as much as you want, because we can only keep this thing about a week and then it's going to start rotting. Yeah. So, as in a day of slaughter, you've killed it. Now, what do you know? I want to, I'll just take that back strap out of there and eat as much of it as I want. You know, just gorge myself on it. See? And it makes sense when there was no refrigeration. See? With refrigeration, now we can properly package it and freeze it and eat it, you know, within a year or two, no problem. But before refrigeration, you know, You've got about a week at the most before it's going to start to spoil. Okay. So, you've lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You've condemned and killed the just. Who condemned and killed the just? Saved people? Saved Jews? Yeah. Yeah, my sins put Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, but I didn't call for his death. But the Jews called for his death. So let's go back to, let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And these are some of the things that are going to happen before the coming of our Lord. And we have to recognize that we as believers in Jesus Christ are not going to be here. When we, we're living in an age in which the trumpet could sound at any time. You know, we're very close. Nobody knows the day or the hour. But one of these days, we're going to have the living daylight scared out of us. Just like the disciples when Jesus appeared in the upper room, you know, they were terrified and afraid. You know, what's that mean? Well, there were the outward emotion of being scared and the inward emotion of being scared. You know, they were shaking and all of that. And he said, peace, be still. You know, calmed them down and reminded them that he had taught them that he was going to rise from the dead. And some of them had already at that point in time seen him raised from the dead. But they were still scared. You know, sometimes it takes a little while. You know, take croquet. I was going to say crochet. you take a croquet mallet and wrap yourself in the head a couple of times to pound a truth in. Sometimes it's pretty slow to learn. Okay. So he says, Paul says in the second chapter of Second Thessalonians, second chapter. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord. Now this is written to Christians, and we're looking for the coming of our Lord. And by what? What's going to happen to us when the Lord comes? He's first going to come in the air, and we're going to be raised and meet him in the air. So it's our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word. And in this age, there were people that were actually writing letters in Paul's name and denying the existence of the first resurrection. Okay. You know, the devil gets in there really fast. So, nor by word, nor by letter, as what? As from us. In other words, they've written to you, and they've counterfeited my name to it, and saying that the day of Christ is at hand. In other words, it's happened or it's going to happen immediately. Okay? Let no man deceive you. So we are being taught certain things that we need to understand are going to take place. And for us as believers, we're not looking for the wrath that is to come. We've been preserved from the wrath that is to come because Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. And we're not appointed unto wrath. Okay? It's not that we're better than the unsaved world, but it's the difference between believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and not believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's available, you know, but what did the Jews say? We will not have this man to reign over us. So he says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Falling away from what? Falling away from the truth of the gospel. Now, when I was a child, you could go to lots of churches and hear the truth. You know, I didn't know it because I wasn't saved until I was 21. But I had perfect attendance in cradle roll. You know, my folks were going. And then there was a fight in the church, and Dad said, if I've got to go to church and fight, I'm not going to go. And in those days, he could have gone somewhere else, but he just said, I'm not going to go. And I don't know. I had an awful lot of things happen to me over the years. Broken this, broken that. Appendix removed when I was four. crazy things. One after the other. Childhood diseases. If you had the mumps once, I had them three times. If you had measles, then I had them six times. Or whatever. Yeah, it was ridiculous. Just one thing after another. I don't know whether the Lord was using me to try to speak to their hearts to, get them to change their mind. But Dad's mind wasn't changed until after I was in the Air Force. And my mother, she did the accounting for Better Foods Markets. And she was in Los Angeles. And, she had two accidents. Her car was totaled both times. Both times she wasn't hurt. On the second occasion, and they weren't very far apart, my dad said, Hazel, I think the Lord's trying to tell us something. And the sad thing is that within a month of him saying that, he died of a massive coronary, at age 44. When you have things in your life that are kind of trying to change your mind, pay attention. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. It doesn't mean that everything that happens to you is, God judging you or anything of the sort. We're not subject to wrath, but the Lord does discipline us. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son that he receives. So he speaks of the fact that the church is going to fall away from the truth of the Word of God. And then the man of sin shall be revealed, the son of perdition. That's the devil. That's the Antichrist. But the Antichrist can't come while we're here. And what's he got like? Well, he opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is going to sit in the temple in Jerusalem. Well, there's no temple in Jerusalem right now. The Mosque of Omar is there. But after we're caught out during the first 3 years of the tribulation period, the temple's going to be built. They have the materials all ready to do it. But every time they talk about doing it, the Arabs go crazy. When the Antichrist comes, who controls all of the false religious systems of the world? The devil. So there's going to be unity with all of the religious systems that remain after the genuine believers are gone. And there's not going to be anybody on the earth at that point in time to refute it. So they're all going to believe it. And then shortly after that, then the 144,000, who I believe will be the Jews that were raised from the dead. Remember, when Christ was raised from the dead, while he was on the cross, there was an earthquake. And it opened the graves. And they could see the dead bodies then. And they remained in the grave until Christ was raised from the dead. And then they were raised from the dead. Now, people make the assumption, well, what happened to them? Well, they must have died again. Jesus ascended in the clouds, and when we come, when he comes again, he's going to come in the clouds. I believe the clouds that he ascended in were the 144,000 in white raiment. And the clouds that he will descend to the earth to the Mount of Olives will be the redeemed of all ages. We're going to come with him to establish his kingdom upon this earth. So remember ye not, that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth or keeps it from happening, that he might be revealed in his time. But the mystery of the iniquity. Now, what's the iniquity? The sin, according to 1 John 3:4 in the Greek text, the sin is the iniquity. What's the sin? The sin is Adam's sin. What is it? It's a sense of morality. You know, so it produced the first, the iniquity is literally hanamos in the Greek, which means lawlessness. Okay? So, what do the religious systems of the world teach with respect to salvation? They're all lawless. They're all, you know, they talk about morality, they talk about your life, they talk about this, they talk about that, but it's all contrary to the person and work of Christ. So it's lawless. See? So the sin of Adam produced the iniquity. And the sin of Adam is that you know, what was their first act? The moment that they ate of that tree, they realized they were naked, and they felt ashamed, and they had to cover their nakedness. But they've been naked from the day that God had created them. It's only because we have a sin nature that nakedness, you know, bothers us. You know? But prior to having a sin nature, there's no problem with nakedness. You can see that in little kids, you know. They run around, the little boys, little girls, you know, playing in the sprinkler or whatever. They can be nude as jaybirds, but they don't have any sense of being naked, you know. But the older they get, that the sin is the iniquity that begins to show, okay? So, he says, the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth restrains. The word let changed meaning in the 400 years since the king. It used to mean let means to allow. It used to mean restrain. Reverse meanings in 400 years. So he who now restrains will restrain until he be taken out of the way. Okay? And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs, and what? Lying wonders. He's going to perform miracles to get people to believe his lie. See? And if you look at what's going on in the so-called religious world today, so-called Christian world, it's all about miracles and signs and this type of thing. They're all set up, you know. But anyone who really has their faith in Christ can't be deceived by it. So, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in, not unrighteousness, the unrighteousness. Definite article again. Leaving those articles out changes the meaning, you know. But it suited the Anglican philosophy of the translators. Now, let's look at the Matthew chapter 24. Okay, Matthew 24. Now, this is in our Lord's Olivet Discourse. And he says, and Jesus answered in verse 4 and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And, you know, Bar Kokhba, there's been many false Christs along the way, and people have followed them, and they've been deceived. And, it's just a sign of the devil working in this world. So he says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, shall deceive many. And so you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. And, of course, that's every day now, you know. But all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and we've had two world wars, and we've had endless wars. How long Afghanistan, Iraq, that's been going on for a long time. Yeah, much longer than World War II, And he says, for a nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences. That thing is happening in China right now? The coronavirus, pestilence, see? And what happens every winter everywhere, people get the flu, famines, pestilences, there are parts of the world where there's not enough food, and then, of course, there's parts of the world where there's too much food. And so he says, all these things are the beginning of sorrow. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom in verse 7. And there shall be famines and pestilences. And what? Earthquakes. And we've had earthquakes in strange places, that don't normally experience earthquakes. Now, the San Andreas Fault in California, a lot of earthquakes in California. Up in Alaska, a lot of earthquakes in Alaska. It's just the nature of the way the earth is formed under those particular parts of the world. But then we're going to hear of earthquakes in other places that don't normally have earthquakes. And he says, all these are the beginning of sorrows or the things that are going to, when there's an earthquake, believe me, they had a big earthquake in California shortly after I was born. And my dad was working in the roofing business at that time. And we had pictures in our family album that showed Compton, California, which used to be a beautiful city. It's now it's one of the most dangerous cities in the country, But when I was a kid growing up there, it was a very beautiful city, patriotic city, so forth. But Compton looked like it had been bombed. I mean, when you see a war-torn area after the earthquake, what was it, 32, 33, somewhere along in there, it looked like, Compton looked like it had been bombed. And my dad, as a roofer, worked in the reconstruction of that at that point in time. Okay. So, and these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because the iniquity really shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The sin is the iniquity. What's the sin? Morality. See, and the more the people talk about doing the right thing and putting their dependence upon making heaven because I'm a good person, the lawlessness shall abound. And the more emphasis you put upon yourself and your life, the less emphasis you're going to put upon, I needed a Savior and Christ died for me. Okay. So that makes the love of many shall wax cold. See, as people who call themselves Christians exalt themselves by the lives that they live, they have less, and real believers can do it. They have less understanding of the fact that there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. But he that shall endure unto the end, of course, now we're talking about the tribulation period, shall be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So, yeah, we preach the gospel of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. The Jews used to preach the gospel of the kingdom, that is, the king is going to come and establish his kingdom. So, now, specifically, and this relates to our text in James, when ye therefore, and he's speaking to a Jewish audience, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let him which is in Judea flee unto the mountains. At the midpoint of the tribulation, the Antichrist is going to, of course, allow the Jews to rebuild the temple on the Temple Mount. And it's going to take probably three and a half years for that to happen. And then he's going to come, and false prophets going to make an idol of the Antichrist and set it up in that temple. And then they're going to demand that you have to worship that idol, you know, or you won't be able to buy or sell. That'll be what's called the mark of the beast. You know, and if you don't take the mark of the beast, you won't be able to buy or sell. So the Jews are told in the 17th chapter of Luke, when you see that happen, get out! See, people misunderstand Luke 17 and think it's about the rapture. You know, if you're on a mountaintop coming down, if you're, Don't worry about taking anything with you. Just leave. And one-third of the nation of Israel will. No. And two-thirds will remain and worship the Antichrist. So he goes on, you'll see the abominations spoken of by Daniel the prophet. That's the Antichrist. And stand in the holy place. And so he says, if you read this, understand it. You know. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out. That's a, this is not the rapture. This is fleeing at the midpoint of the tribulation. The rapture's already taken place. Okay? So he says, and woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. It's going to be tough as it was with the destruction of Jerusalem. You know, women, didn't have food for their babies. In fact, the Jews were so distressed that women actually killed and roasted their babies to survive. You know, and there were other Jews that were hoodlums. They would smell it cooking, and they'd go in and take it away from them. You know. So that they could survive. Yeah. The destruction of Jerusalem was a mini picture of the Great Tribulation. So he goes on to say, but pray that your flight be not in the winter or on the Sabbath day. Now, we don't observe the Sabbath, but Jews, until they're saved, are still under the law. So Jews are required to keep the Sabbath. So when they're told to flee, pray that it's not winter and pray that it's not the Sabbath day, because you can only travel a short distance on the Sabbath day from where you live to where you worship to where you live. Okay? Okay. For then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world, to this time, no, nor ever shall be, and except those days be shortened. And the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, the days are going to be shortened by one-third. So rather than 24-hour days, there'll be 18-hour days. Now, in order for that to happen, we're going to have to change the location of the earth with respect to the sun. Move it closer so that you can still make one revolution around the sun in a year. Okay. And you read in the book of the Revelation, men are going to cry out because of the intense heat. You know, we're talking about global warming. During the tribulation period, we're going to have it. But it's not going to be because of fossil fuels. It's going to be because people, will worship the Antichrist, and God is going to judge the world because of that. Okay, now, so he says, then if any man say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, what? Believe it not. There's going to be, people will desire to escape all of this. And Christ is here. Christ, he says, don't believe it. For there shall rise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, and it's not possible because the 144,000 are redeemed and glorified, and they will be preaching the gospel, and we will have been caught away in the first resurrection, so that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. Behold, I've told you before, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chamber, believe it not. Okay. Now, let's go back to our text in James, and we'll bring this to a close. I've got almost 2 minutes here. All right. So, in James, Hebrews, James. All right. Now, he says to them then, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive what? The early and the latter rains. Now, we don't have time to really develop this in the time that we have left, but the early rains speak of the first three feasts of the Jews. The latter rains speak of the last three feasts of the Jews. Early rains, you plant the crop. The latter rains, you reap the crop. Okay? And so in between, we have Pentecost. And Pentecost was 40 days after the Sabbath following the Passover Sabbath. And the next day, you count seven full Sabbaths, and then the next day. So Pentecost was always on Sunday. Pentecost between these first three feasts and last three feasts. First three feasts represent the first advent of Christ. Last three feasts represent the second advent of Christ. What's in between? You take two wave loaves made with leaven. Because we, even though we're saved, we still have a sin nature. Okay? And because of that sin nature, we still sin. So it speaks of the church age between the first advent of Christ and the second advent of Christ. And it's two wave loaves. Both Jews and Gentiles are going to be saved during the church age. And then, so he says, be patient, therefore, unto the coming of the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for the marvelous truth of your word. And we pray that as we go through this book and rightly divide it, we'll see that it was written to unsaved Jews, but James's purpose was to witness to them that they might come to faith in Christ and that they might change their minds. And we just pray that as we minister these words, that those who are unsaved will change their minds and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those of us who are saved, that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of thee and be comforted by the truth of the word of God, because we're not reserved unto wrath. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.